Well, let me try to go through this in some halfway organized manner here to begin with. Now, if we look just at the Port of Long Beach and its history, let's start back in about 1903 to 1911, that period. In 1903, Governor William Gaylor, G-A-L-E-R, of Long Beach, suggested Long Beach annex Terminal Island. But nobody wanted, who wanted that mud flat out there? It was valueless to anything and everybody, just a stinking mud flat. But in September of 1905, the Los Angeles Dock and Terminal Company formed to buy land and build the port. They were a group of entrepreneurs who thought they might make a fast dollar. In 1906, they got a permit from the War Department for the harbor development. And it was along the lines of the having the entrance channel where the present entrance channel is, and having three channels. Channel 1, which is now filled. Channel 2 and 3, which are about where they are now. Now, in 1907, the city talked John Craig into establishing the Craig Shipbuilding Company in there on the Inner Harbor on Channel 3. Now, this is quite a story in itself as to getting John Craig here and the amount of money that was spent and that he received and how he came here. But anyway, this was up to 1907. In the 30th of June of 1909, the channels of the Inner Harbor were finally open to the ocean. This was through a dredging job, and also the Bastille Bridge was built across the entrance channel for the railroad, so that they could open and let the ships go in and out. Now, about this time, the city came into got interested in the situation, and so on the 3rd of September of 1909 was the first municipal bond issue for $245,000. And by 1911, the water frontage was purchased by the city and Pier 1 was completed. Now, this was a pretty puny Pier 1, but anyway, it was completed. And backing up a year, in July of 1910, the Pacific Electric Railway Company acquired the trackage rights and switching privileges in the port. Now, on the PE handled the switching in the port clear up until, well, maybe 10 years ago, when the Pacific Electric became a part of the Southern Pacific. It always was a subsidiary, but it became a part of the Southern Pacific, and so the Southern Pacific has taken over. And in the 1st of May, 1911, the state of California issued the tideland grant to the city of the tidelands of the city of Long Beach. Now, this is a story in itself, but up until that time, wasn't clear as to who owned or who operated the tidelands, and the state was very happy to grant these tidelands to the various cities because it took them off of their hands. They didn't have to spend money maintaining them. They didn't have to do anything, lifeguard service. They didn't. So it was really, the state was turning them over to the various cities like L.A. received theirs, Long Beach theirs, and all up and down the coast for received the tidelines for commerce, navigation, and fisheries. and it was a grab. It wasn't as the courts have turned it around since then, but they gave that to the cities. And so until it wasn't that the courts came around and said that the state had the right to be Indian givers, that things changed. But anyway, so there, in 1911, the Tidelands grant. Now, in 1913, now up to this time, the L.A. Dock and Terminal Company had spent $1.5 million on the port. This about $650,000 was spent on continuous dredging to maintain a 20-foot depth, because the river, the San Gabriel or Los Angeles River, came right into the port, and that was just a mud flat out there. And so every time we had a big rain, they just washed mud right into where they'd been trying to dredge, so that they could not maintain and keep a port. In 1914, the San Gabriel River flooded in 2 weeks and negated 7 years of dredging. Now, I have had some on the weather, a little something here on the weather in the area. And I've got about 200 years of history of the weather. Now, we've had about 30 years of good weather before the stormy year of 1978. So since World War II until 78, it was been dry and the weather has been good. But up to 1856, the shipping along California coast was subject to severe storms unknown in recent years. It was apparently during periods of warm ocean water. But anyway, the Pacific, as we know it, wasn't so Pacific during that period. Now, we had floods in 1862. Now, we had a great drought in 1862 and 64 here. And then we had intermittent floods in 1884 and 1891. The 1884 floods were shortly after the eruption of Krakatoa volcano, and it caused something like we've had here since we've had some volcanic eruptions. Now, these floods formed huge lakes. The interior of California was wiped. It wiped out all the houses and ruined the railroads and everything. Sacramento to San Joaquin Valley. The lake 250 miles long and 300 miles long and 20 miles wide, all through the San Joaquin and the Sacramento River Valley up there. So we haven't seen anything like that in recent years at all. we've had southern storms. They hit the Southern California coast with sudden fury, and these were all through the early years of the 19th century. We have three principal storm tracks here. The most common is starts south of the Aleutian Islands and advances from northwest down the California coast. And the last severe sea storm we had here was the 23rd of December 1940 and the 7th of January 1941. And then we have them that come from the open ocean from the Hawaiian Islands and hit the California coast from the west. The last severe storms were 77, 78, and 79, and 80, in which we had damage to homes and piers and roads along the coast. And then from Baja California, rarely come to California in recent years. They're called Chubascos, C-H-U-B-A-S-C-O-S. This was 1934, Newport Balboa, in September 1939, the damage to the Long Beach Breakwater. Then, of course, we had another type of storm, the Santa Ana, which blows offshore. The most severe was 17th of June, 1859. The Santa Barbara temperature got to be 133 degrees Fahrenheit at 2 p.m. By 5 p.m. it was 122 degrees, and by 7 it dropped down to 77 degrees. Small animals fell dead, and birds fell from the sky. So that you can see, we've had some weather here, and most people who've come into California since World War II have no comprehension of what weather we could have here. But this same kind of weather is what in 1914, when we had a big storm there, negated 7 years of dredging. In 1914, following this flood, the L.A. Dock and Terminal Company deeded the turning basin and channels to Long Beach. That's a 4.7-acre parcel near Slip 5 on Channel 3 was also deeded to the city. And the city had a municipal bond issue of $30,000 for dredging. But this was 1914. But it wasn't until 1923 when the L.A. County Flood Control District formed and built the L.A. River Channel. And this made the development of the Port of Long Beach possible. Until that time, because of the storms and the way the area was, there was no way that a port could be built. Now, at this time, a committee of 200 was formed by the Chamber of Commerce's of Greater Los Angeles area, was formed, and it recommended the outer harbor development for the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. And in 1924, following this, and also we had oil here and we had more people and the town was booming, they had a $5 million bond issue. And they hired a Colonel Edward N. Johnston, that's J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, to prepare plans and specs. And this was for a 7,140-foot breakwater, which went out on the west side of the Los Angeles River and then had an elbow that turned to the southwest and built the entrance channel and the flanking mills. Now, at that time, or about the same time that this was all coming about, General Goebbels, who was the chief of engineers, he's the same fellow who built the Panama Canal. But he wanted the two ports to get together. He thought that the ports of Long Beach and L.A., since we served the same area and we were just getting started, the two ports should get together. But the city of Los Angeles would have nothing to do with the city of Long Beach. Wasn't Long Beach's doing. Long Beach wasn't the one that said no. L.A. didn't want any part of Long Beach. And so this work was developed. And this allowed the private property in the inner harbor to be developed. Because we suddenly had the entrance channel was protected. We had protection from the southeast with the new breakwater, we had moles, we made it such that the inner harbor could develop. But at the time, there was nothing other than Pier 1 of the public port, a municipal port. Now, what happened immediately after that? So in 1925, the Suez Canal opened to deep draft vessels. July of, in July 1926, main entrance channel, well, Srila's channel was open first. November 1925, Srila's channel was open to deep draft vessels. That's Srila's channel between the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. And then on 26, the main entrance channel was open to deep draft vessels. And then this meant that there was development on what we call the 7th Street Peninsula. Are you familiar with the 7th Street Peninsula? That's between Channel 2 and Channel 3. Yeah, you can see it there on the map. And there, the Rio Grande Oil Company came in, Standard Gypsum Company came in, Spencer Kellogg came in, Ford Motor Company came in, J.H. Baxter came in, Richfield Oil Corporation, Monarch Oil Corporation, Procter & Gamble Manufacturing Company, Pacific Oil and Meal Company, just as a few of them that came in and developed on in Ann Arbor. Now, all of these were on the 7th Street Peninsula, but this was meant that these companies came in and they furnished employment to people who lived in the city of Long Beach. So that, and Long Beach didn't have much employment other than oil, which came in 23. Up until that time, Long Beach was a seaside resort. And so with this business coming in, suddenly there was work for people in Long Beach and its surrounding areas here. So this was the very beginning of the Inner Harbor. And in 1928, there was a $2.7 million bond issued by the city, in which they did work on Pier 1 in the Inner Harbor, and they built two transit sheds there. And then a municipal old rail line, which was switched directly to the P and the SP and the UP. And they started on Pier A in the Outer Harbor. This was to build a short piece of Pier A, which was right up against the breakwater which had been built, and also a short stub of Pier B in the Outer Harbor. And they built the Navy landing between Piers A and B for $100,000. And up to this point, all development had been built by, had been done by the City of Long Beach through bond issues or by private interests. And this was about the time then that I came to work for the Port of Long Beach. Because this was 1928, there was just there was still a Pier A, there was Pier B, and the Navy landing. And then it's just before I came to work, using the oil money, they started some dredging work to fill in some more land just south of Seaside Boulevard.
This is wonderful. I've looked at a lot of aerial photographs that show what you're telling me, and it's all suddenly putting into place.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's good.
Well, we focused on the area where the flying boat was, and so I've seen, you know, the Edison plant and kind of that area around there. And so this is wonderful.
Okay. Now we'll look here and see where I stand next. Well, let's talk a little bit about the situation in 1938 when I went to work. As I said previously, the bond issue had just not passed. It was the end of the Depression. We were just coming out of it. World War II was in the offing, but I've got an excerpt here of some information taken from a write-up which I had, which it says, in the last 15 years, the history of the harbor has been a history of hopes. The original careful planning and development inaugurated by Colonel Johnston was eventually modified and changed. Research disclosed that promotion after promotion had come to naught as a result of lack of coordination and drive on the part of Long Beach. Industrial growth had been extensive, it is true, but nothing to what could have been gained for the city under a coordinated plan of development. The meager revenues obtained by the city from its port facilities have been absurdly low when compared to the $10 million invested in the harbor by the people. Every year is disclosed optimistic agreements made with shipping companies to relocate in Long Beach, but who, save in some few scattered instances, never did. It can be said that port commerce and facilities have never been utilized to the extent necessary to amortize original investment. Without outside factors entering into the picture, the Long Beach Harbor was beginning to take on the aspects of a civic blunder of the first magnitude. Now, this was from a write-up on the port in 1940. Now, several people in the port felt the same way. They couldn't see why we wanted to spend another dime on the port. The port was a white elephant, it was a blunder, why should we do anything? But, I'll go through the situation again. It was the end of the Big Depression. It was just after the earthquake of 1933. The town was still being rebuilt. The population of Long Beach in 1930 was 142,000 people. A school bond issue had just failed. The city had no money. In the spring of the year, either laid people off or paid them with warrants. The banks charged a fee for us to cash them. Wages were about $150 a month for a 48-hour week. The port was in debt about $8.5 million. No income, nothing happening. In March of 1938, the first Harbor Department oil well came in on Upland property. It was the Westgate Greenland well I talked about. Oil was about $1 a barrel when it got on the market. And in September 1938, I went to work for the Harbor Department as a chainman, $125 a month. And C.I. Vickers was the chief of party. Now, the Port of Long Beach was a port on San Pedro Bay, a regional area dominated by the Port of Los Angeles. Now, both ports share the same bay and breakwater. We have the same land transport system. That is, we had three railroads, the Southern Pacific, the Union Pacific, and the Santa Fe. We had the same highway system, the same surface roadways, and later, when the freeway system came into being, the same freeway system. We had the same labor market and unions. The longshoremen at that time, in 1938, were paid $1.25 a day extra because the hiring hall was in San Pedro. And so they had to come, they had to report the hiring hall in San Pedro and then drive to Long Beach. Well, this was the theory of it. Actually, they didn't, but this was the theory. Now, this was later reduced to 30 cents car fare, but it wasn't until 1946 it was cut to zero when the port built the hiring hall in Wilmington. The Port of Long Beach bought a piece of property in the middle of Wilmington and built a hiring hall over there, and then it was equidistant from everything, and so that we no longer had to pay this extra money. Now, both ports have the same tariff for all port purposes, all port services. Now, the Port of Long Beach was a small newcomer to the port business. The port's position was all it really had to sell was better facilities and services, if it had any facilities and services or not. Now, in 1938 and the immediately following years, the Port Administration had to one clear title on the port lands and the oil rights. Now all we did at those first years that I was there was fight to clear title and to fight all of the people who tried to take away the port's rights. We were in court, and the first year or so that I was worked there, we had Swaffield and Swaffield, who were attorneys here in town, very fine attorneys, Mr. Phil and Mr. Raymond, and they would be in court, and Charlie Vickers would go up to court and be there, and then he would come back to the office after court was over. It was up to I and a couple other fellows, Harry Long, and I've forgotten who else, but Harry Long and I mainly, who would prepare the exhibits that they wanted for the next day on clearing this title and showing what land, showing all this, the whole story of the land situation. And so that for months we worked every night almost preparing information to go back to the court so that...
Who was litigating?
Well, the state of California was suing us. Well, first, of course, we had to clear title with the Edison Company over on the island, the Union Pacific Oil Company, with the Southern Pacific on the... Well, everybody who owned property.
Yeah.
Nobody knew exactly where their property was. Also, what was where was the tide land? Tide line, the mean high tide line, which we were given in 1911. This separated what land was the cities from what was upland land and things like this. This all had to be educated. And so that we were fighting everybody. Whether it was the federal government, whether it was the city of Long Beach, whether it was the state, the county, well, the county was never in it. That was one of the ones that didn't fight us. But so we were defending against all who would take the oil money from the port. Also, we had to develop the port. We had to sell the services of the port. We were developing an oil field. And later, we had to combat the effects of subsidence and to stop subsidence.
Could you talk about subsidence in more detail?
Yes, now I can go into subsidence right now. What is subsidence? Dictionary says it's to sink or settle to a lower level. Therefore, we're talking about the Earth's surface sinking or settling to a lower level. Now, the pattern may have two forms. It can be an area form, such as we had all of the L.A. Basin, or all of Long Beach, or localize the port of Long Beach. The subsidence of the port of Long Beach was in the form, it was about 10 miles long, northwest to southeast. It was about 5 miles wide, oval in shape, and covering 30 plus or minus square miles, and it was from 2 to 28 feet. Now, it's centered at the Edison Company plant on Terminal Island. Now, the subsiding area was very critical to the community. It was highly populated and is the west side of the city of Long Beach. It was a highly industrialized area. It was the west side industrial district of Long Island. And it was the port of Long Beach, the Long Beach Naval Shipyard, the Edison Company steam plant, and it was the seventh largest oil field.